When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quick Takes! Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark added to her growing collection of milestones Wednesday night at Northwestern, moving into second place on the NCAA women's all-time scoring list during the Hawkeyes' 110-74 win. She now only trails former Washington star Kelsey Plum by 103 points for most career points. Stephen A., will Clark end up being the greatest women's college basketball player of all time?
I definitely think she'll be able to be the greatest scorer of all time. I'm sure Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Coop and other people like that have something to say about whether she's the greatest player. But she's absolutely phenomenal. She's averaging 32 points a game, shooting 40% from three, seven assists, seven rebounds a game. They're 20-2, 9-1 overall in the Big Ten this year. She is the Steph Curry of women's basketball. I've said that for the last year. Had the pleasure to meet her and know and do an event with her. Wonderful young lady. I think she works on her game constantly, and there are people that are speculating what she's doing now. She's not going to do on the WNBA level. We'll see, because the one thing that I know Molly, I know Woody, when you can shoot, that travels to any level.
Yeah.
When you can shoot, you can shoot. It'd be one thing, she's a big person, you know, pushing people around. No, she's pulling up from the parking lot. This is who she is. And I don't think that's going away. And so I'm looking at that. Finished with 35 points for her fifth straight 30-point game. She's absolutely, positively phenomenal. It's going to be real interesting to see what she does during the NCAA tournament, and whether she gets another crack at the national championship, potentially against LSU or South Carolina or Connecticut. We shall see. But she's sensational.
She's so fun to watch, and she shows up every night.
Is she the biggest star in college?
Yes.
Regardless, college or pro?
I personally believe definitely college, not necessarily pro, but I think when she goes to the WNBA, if she does this, she'll be the biggest female star ever, because she can pull up from the parking lot. And she's got the personality. You know what? She's just seasoned. She's poised. I've been around this girl.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's going to do on the next level against those pros. We shall see, but I believe in her. But this girl has superstar written all over her.
She's focused. We'll have a top 15 Big 12 women's basketball matchup tonight on ESPN in the app. Madison Booker, number 12 Texas, take on number 13 Baylor in their balanced attack. Coverage begins 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. That's right after the Pro Bowl game skills showdown. We got a Super Bowl on deck, ladies and gentlemen. Brock Purdy has helped guide the Niners back to the big game, but former MVP quarterback Cam Newton weighed in on the 49ers signal caller, on his 4th and 1 podcast. Cam again explained why he still considers Purdy a game manager and not a game changer.
To be labeled a game changer, Brock Purdy has to be the best player on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm.
And that's not the case.
And who's the best player?
Christian McCaffrey. Man, look, I ain't recanting shit. And if you really want to just be honest, if you add in a defensive talent and you add in an offensive talent, Brock Purdy is the 10th best player on his team.
Brock Purdy, the 10th best player on this team. Damian Woody here with us. I like the suit.
Looking clean, D Wood.
Thank you.
Kimberly
I'm trying
as
to
well.
Figure out why. I mean, I understand why there's no tie, and I understand
you can't
the button.
Let you live.
But hold
you
on. Can't. Can I finish my thought, please? Why are two buttons loose? Why is that? Did you talk to Louis Riddick before he got here? Richard Jefferson.
Jefferson. He does have you there.
I mean, what's up with the two buttons?
Yeah.
Well, that's my issue.
Like I told Kimberly Martin earlier, when you're in your season, you can do things like that. I'm in my season.
In your season?
Yeah, I'm in my
what's
season.
What's in your season? What does that mean?
It's
in your moment.
Right, when I'm in my bag
he
right now.
He is flourishing.
Okay, yes.
In a way that you can comprehend, sir.
Right not so surviving, thriving.
Right, thriving. So when you're in your bag, you can do stuff like this. Okay,
let
so
let me just tell you something, though, guys.
Yeah.
You never need to explain yourself to this man.
The best thing
you should do is just stare at him. Give a death stare and just make it awkward and uncomfortable,
why don't you try
and then he'll fill the time.
He'll
filibuster himself.
You know, you always have something to say. Oh. You never just stare. You know, you'll call 4 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that on the West Coast with something to say. You got something to say when the show comes on too.
Sorry, I'm a businesswoman and my mind works.
Really? That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I'm ready to take care of business. Okay, so step your game up. Wake up early.
Tell the man he looks good.
By the way, in your bag. That usually comes associated with First Take. People who show up on First Take are usually in their bag. Who sets the standard for First Take?
Let me amend the statement.
No, it's too late.
Okay, because I've been in my bag since 1999.
I wouldn't know anything about it. I was working for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
You were a little pipsqueak out there annoying folks.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like okay.
All right. Is Cam right? And I'll start with you here, Damian Wood. Is he right that he's the 10th best player on the team and he's, you know, a game manager, not a game changer, et cetera? Obviously, Cam was former MVP, played the position.
He's not right. Honestly, about this conversation, I don't even give a damn about this whole conversation, because I'm going to take in the immortal words of Mike Singletary. Okay, in the immortal words of Mike Singletary, I want winners. I want guys that's going to go out there and win games. I don't care which shape, form they come in. I want guys that can go out there on the field and go get things done. Is Cam Newton, is Brock Purdy Christian McCaffrey? No, he's not Christian McCaffrey. We know Christian McCaffrey. We know what type of player he is, okay? He's a guy that he's going to be perennially in the MVP conversation, okay? We know about Deebo Samuel and what he brings to the table, Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
But the man plays the most important position in sports.
Yep.
He plays it at a very high level. We can say he plays it at an elite level because numbers don't lie. And the numbers on, you know, the numbers on him tells us that this man has been elite all season long.
Mm-hmm.
People want to point to, what happened when Deebo Samuel was out? Or what happened when Trent Williams was out? Tell me how many quarterbacks, when key players out, are able to sustain those type of things. That's rarefied air of players that can sustain when other key components are out on their offense, okay? But what Brock Purdy is out there doing and balling at the moment of truth. See, I judge people when the moment of truth comes along.
Yeah.
We always have discussions about Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson and all these guys. In the moment of truth, did they come through? No.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, whether you're talking about the Green Bay Packers, where he actually, in that divisional game, he didn't play very well. But in that last drive, when they needed him, he was sensational. Last week, when they were down 24-7 in the second half, he was sensational.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't care about, he's the 10th. That doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter to me.
Well, I'm going to be very careful with how I phrase this, because the last time this topic came up, people wanted to pivot this conversation with Cam into a whole different thing than it should have been with involving me. So I'm going to say this. Brock Purdy manages to win games. And what gets me about this topic is that no one said Brock Purdy is an elite player like Patrick, like Lamar, like Josh, like Jay. No one said any of that. And everybody is picking at this kid saying what he's not. When 18 months ago, he was a four-string quarterback. Brock Purdy literally is what we should be celebrating. We celebrated last year. Now all of a sudden, everybody wants to be like, oh, he's not the MVP. Oh, no, he's not. He's trash. He's not this. Oh, he benefits from everybody on the team. He's the 10th best guy. Okay, but guess who's in the Super Bowl? Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes, like, their teams are in the Super Bowl, and that's it. And if he ends up winning the Super Bowl, he can say he has the same amount of rings as Aaron Rodgers. Like that is the reality of his situation. We should be celebrating him, a guy who has said, you know what? I'm a God-fearing guy. I'm not the tallest. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the fastest. I just work hard, and I want to be the best for my teammates. And that's what he's been thus far. So while he may not have been as talented as Cam or Patrick or whoever, like, let this, like, why are we deconstructing what he's not instead of celebrating what he's been? A guy who a year ago was a four-string guy, didn't have an offseason with first-team reps, again got hurt, didn't have an offseason, and guess what? His team is in the NFC title game.
I'll answer
and
that in a second, but we got some breaking news.
Yeah, we have breaking news right now I want to get into. From Dallas to D.C., the Commanders are hiring a defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, as their head coach, per league sources. Adam Schefter just tweeting this out here. Quinn and Commanders GM Adam Peters are the two men now charged with leading Washington into the future. All right, Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you like Dan Quinn as the hire as head coach of the Commanders?
No.
Ooh.
I do not. I'm not questioning his football qualifications as a head coach in Atlanta. He was decent, got him to the Super Bowl, lost a 28-3 lead with Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator. The last time we saw him was in a playoff game where the Dallas Cowboys defense looked horrific. That was our last vision of him. Now, obviously, he's improved the defense by leaps and bounds over the years with the Dallas Cowboys. He had the personnel in place. But in moments where it really, really counted, they came up short. To me, if you're a division rival within the NFC East, and that's the backdrop for it, for that to be your hire, I mean, it's not a bad hire. I certainly don't mean to imply that. But I would have much rather preferred Dan Quinn remaining as the defensive coordinator in Dallas and going back to try and make amends for the horrific performance that they had put forth in the NFC wildcard playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. That's what I would have preferred personally. That's not what happened. Again, I'm not saying that the man can't coach. I'm not saying that the man doesn't deserve a job. I'm not even saying he doesn't deserve to be a head coach. But an NFC East rival, coming off what I saw them do, am I excited about this hire for the nation's capital? No.
Okay, before you guys weigh in, I want to bring in Mina Kimes. Mina, do you have me? Oh, there she is. Hi, Mina. Good morning. What are your thoughts on the Commanders hiring Dan Quinn as their head coach?
I think there are pros and cons. Here, Stephen A., I understand that the last we saw of Dan Quinn's defense, it wasn't very pretty. I think some personnel issues factored into that and matchups as well. I do think he deserves a lot of credit, not just for how good this Cowboys defense has been under him, but the fact that he has pivoted as a play caller from the scheme he used to run in Seattle, that cover three in Atlanta, you saw in Dallas, he innovated, he made adjustments based on the players he had. Those are qualities I like in a head coach, frankly, that ability to continue evolving, and that's sorely needed in Washington given how bad that defense was last year, how much they need talent. But I think my hesitation, and this is why it's sort of an unfinished grade for me, is the most important job he has. The most important thing when it pertains to the Commanders this season is nailing that quarterback pick at number two and then building an offense around that quarterback, nurturing him, facilitating. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have an offensive coach. You can look at Houston, where DeMeco Ryans brought Bobby Slowick and they did such a fantastic job with CJ Stroud. But it does mean that Dan Quinn has to absolutely nail the offensive coordinator hire. And I'm a little bit worried about his ability to do so because the further this thing goes on, and this is late in the cycle, of course, he's the last coach, head coach hired, there aren't as many options, and there's no obvious candidate the way Slowick was with DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah, that my issue, you know, I talked to sources inside the building, outside the building yesterday, and everybody thought a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it was like, oh, Ben Johnson is going to be the guy. But Ben Johnson, I was told, didn't interview. The team wasn't sold on Ben Johnson. And Dan Quinn came in, interviewed well. You know, I think I'm not surprised he's the head coach. What does worry me about the search taking so long is, as Mina said, now all the top OC and DCs have been snatched up. So when you want a fan base right now with new ownership, you don't, like, is Sam Howell the quarterback? Is that where we're going? What are we doing? What are you going to do it to? Are you going to bring a new guy in? Who's the guy? Do you nail that pick? Now you have a head coach who now, like, they're trying to reinvigorate this fan base that has stuck with his team through so much, the Dan Snyder era, everything, and a lot of losing. Ron Rivera was a player's coach. Guys loved him. But the difference here with Quinn and the way this structure is set up now is they have a true GM in Adam Peters. When you talk about the personnel hire, this is a huge draft for a first-time GM. Granted, he came from San Francisco. They know what they're doing. But they have to nail this pick. But at least Dan Quinn Now, he will have input on the draft and all that, but it's not going to be the same amount of power that Ron Rivera had from a personnel standpoint. I think that's what a lot of people criticize Ron for. The personnel plus the players on the field, the production wasn't where it needed to be.
So here's, I got plus and a minus. So the plus is you obviously take away from a divisional foe in the Dallas Cowboys. We know, we saw the work that Dan Quinn put in as far as the Dallas Cowboys and their defense. They got tremendously better under Dan Quinn. I know the last time we saw the Cowboys defense, they got shellacked by the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
But make no mistake about it, that defense got a lot better under Dan Quinn. So I think that's a plus as far as being in the same division. The big minus for me, and Mina and Kimberly hit on it, is the fact that he's the last hire. Offensive coordinator spots are being dried up. Everyone's been picking over all the top coordinators. You got the number two pick in the draft. You have to hit on the quarterback. We can talk about defense. We can talk about everything. If you don't hit on the quarterback, you have no chance of being successful. So, to me, that's the negative is Dan Quinn, this hiring being so late. Mm-hmm. What kind of offensive staff is going to put together? Mm-hmm. Can they hit on the quarterback? I got my questions.
Peeps. Dan Quinn, despite what we saw in the playoffs against Green Bay, no doubt did an exceptional job as a defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. How about him as a head coach? Because that's what he's been hired to do. Mm-hmm. Be a leader of men, overseer of the organization from a coaching standpoint. His record in six seasons in Atlanta was 43-42. In six seasons, he went to the postseason twice. I mean, I'm sorry, that's not a lot to write home about. So, again, I understand it's a decent hire. I didn't say it was an awful hire. But am I writing home about it? Am I in the nation's capital? Yes. Look who we have. No. I'm not doing that.
I will say this.
In fairness.
Okay.
We could put the same thing with Raheem Morris.
We could put the same thing with Raheem Morris.
Everyone has raved about Raheem Morris in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think the same thing applies to Dan
Quinn
here.
But I think one of those situations, he inherited a situation, came near midseason, stuff like that.
He was young, and he was
considerably younger.
Yes.
So all of those things get taken into consideration as well.
Yes. Yep.
But I mean, it's not an awful hire. I'm just saying that, there's no parade.
Awful.
No, I'm not trying to say it's an awful hire, but it's just no parade being thrown, no party. And there's nothing like that going on in the nation's capital.
Would you feel differently if he wasn't the last pick? Like if Washington had made
it? Has nothing to do for me. I think that when you have a six-time champion like a Bill Belichick out there or Jim Harbaugh out there, I think that you look at something along those lines. If you're the nation's capital with a new owner that paid $6 billion for the organization, and you got everybody from Magic Johnson to Bob Myers and everybody in between helping you out.
I was looking for the splash.
You're Jim Harbaugh. Do you want to go there with that quarterback?
I don't. But what I'm saying is, if you're the Washington Commanders, I was looking for a splash. This ain't no damn splash.
Call your boy Magic and tell him.
That's all I'm saying.
Tell him it's just that's a little puddle.
So, yeah, hit up Magic,
and
man.
I did yesterday. Tell him you wanted a big wave. He called me while I was right here. He called me doing commercial break right here.
Tell him you wanted a big wave.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Quick takes. The Seattle Seahawks have signed a Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, to a 6-year contract, making him their next head coach. McDonald led the Ravens to number one in points allowed, sacks, and takeaways this season. He now becomes the youngest NFL head coach at 36. Mina Kimes, our resident Seahawk, but always objective, of course. Your reaction to this move?
I absolutely love it. I don't think I'm alone in this, and I don't think it's a homer take, because the single biggest problem with the Seattle Seahawks over the last few years has been the inability of the defense to stop the Shanahan tree offenses, including, of course, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Mike McDonald with the Rams was so effective at playing those teams. San Francisco, Miami, Houston twice. This defense under him was not only the best in the NFL, they were the best against those particular offenses, which is so important in that division. We've talked at length on NFL Live about his schematic brilliance, the use of simulated pressures and disguise in the back end. The other thing I would highlight that makes me love this for Seattle is that he has gotten the most out of players at different points in their careers, whether it's a young player like Kyle Hamilton becoming a superstar, or veterans like Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy playing their best football in Baltimore. He's going to have to do that in Seattle. I think he has a very good chance of doing so. To me, this was the best hire of the entire cycle.
I completely and totally agree with you. I love this hire for them. And I love the fact that it succeeds the Energizer Bunny that is Pete Carroll, who's in his 70s, looking like he's going in his 50s from an energy standpoint, who obviously played an advisory role in all of this, at least to a small degree. I'm of the mindset, what I said about Dan Quinn is the antithesis of what I feel about Mike McDonald. Baltimore is not home because of that defense. That defense showed up. Against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they held them. I know they got 17 points. They had 3 points the final three quarters. Now, see, to me, when you, this is what you live on, this is what you do, and then you show up in the big moments and you did your job, that's when you deserve elevation. Mike McDonald deserves this job. He deserves this opportunity, and I think it's a great hire by the Seattle Seahawks. I really do.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
To be labeled a game changer, Brock Purdy has to be the best player on the offensive side of the ball.
Hmm.
And that's not the case.
And who's the best player?
Christian McCaffrey. Man, look, I ain't recanting shit. And if you really want to just be honest, if you add in the defensive talent and you add in the offensive talent, Brock Purdy is the 10th best player on this team.
That was former MVP Cam Newton, if you're just joining us on his 4th and 1 podcast, talking about Brock Purdy and essentially Stephen A. saying that he's more of a game manager than a game changer and that he's the 10th best player on the San Francisco 49ers. Does he have a point?
No, he doesn't. Not that last point where he's the 10th best player on the roster. That's utterly ridiculous. And that's hating, and Cam Newton knows better than that. That's a bit extreme. But with everything else he said, I think that he does make a valid point. And I want to give love to the Pivot podcast led by our very own Ryan Clark with Fred Taylor and Channing Crowder, because Mr. Channing Crowder himself pointed out something that I thought everybody should pay attention to weeks ago when he said Cam is looking at what he was asked to do when he was quarterback in the Carolina Panthers with far inferior talent compared to what the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy has at his disposal in San Francisco. And that is a valid point, which brings me to the ultimate point that I wanted to make. At some point in time, when we have these podcasts and things of that nature, let's just be completely transparent. Cam Newton is pointing out what he's pointing out because he's saying, as a black quarterback in the National Football League, we were asked to do more. A lot of times we were asked to do more with less. And we did do a lot with less. If we had what Brock Purdy has available to him, then imagine what we would have done. And so when you see and you crystallize that, it makes sense what Cam Newton is pointing to. He had to carry the Carolina Panthers when he was a league MVP. They were 15-1, and he took them to the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy doesn't have to do that. He's got CMC, he's got Debo, he's got Ayuk, he's got Kittle, and he's got Kyle Shanahan calling plays, and he's got some rough riders on that defensive side of the ball as well. Brock Purdy is working with far more than Cam Newton ever had to work to. So whether you agree or disagree with Cam Newton, we have to appreciate his point up until he said, he's the 10th best player on the squad. That's excessive. That's ridiculous. But outside of that, I do get where Cam Newton is coming from.
Earlier, I asked you in the show if Dak Prescott was being disrespected, right? When his Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, came out and said essentially that he's going to need to step it up, you know, all eyes on him, etc. Do you feel like it's really Brock Purdy? Because when you look at his story, it's so unique, Stephen A., when we talk about Mr. Irrelevant, last in the draft, now essentially being catapulted to first, and maybe a lot of people feel like, hey, anybody could do that. You could just plug and play all this talents around him. And it's really not the case when you look at how clutch he's been.
I agree. I think that Brock Purdy has been great, particularly in the playoffs, been called upon to produce in big moments. He stepped up, and you got to give credit where credit is due. When a moment calls for you to elevate your level of play, he did. They would look suspect that times, but then when the pressure rose and you had a postseason berth on the line, he stepped up and handled his business. That says something about him that we're still looking for from Dak Prescott and to a lesser degree Lamar Jackson. That is a fact, but it still doesn't negate Cam Newton's point because he's a former league MVP who took a team to the Super Bowl and was asked to do so much when he had so much less. And that's where I can appreciate his point
All
of
right,
view.
Let's bring in our girl, Mina Kimes. No one's watching more film than her. Mina, where are you on this subject and Cam's comments and take on Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I think it depends on what the actual criticism of Purdy is when we're talking about whether he's being disrespected. Because if you're saying Brock Purdy isn't Patrick Mahomes or he isn't the MVP, I think that's a reasonable criticism. It's a reasonable debate to be had. I don't think it's disrespectful to say a second-year quarterback is not on the level of the very top quarterbacks in the NFL. However, if you're saying he's a game manager, that's just not an accurate summation of his game. That's not an accurate criticism of his game, at least how I define game manager. I realize this comes down to semantics. I think when you watch him and you see the ways in which, in particular, he's different from Jimmy Garoppolo, which will, of course, be something we examine headed into this Super Bowl rematch, the fact that he uses his legs so much, not just to scramble, but to extend plays, whereas Garoppolo did not. The fact that he pushes the ball downfield, in terms of attempts over 15 yards this season, sixth in the NFL, Garoppolo always ranked near the bottom of the league. Those are not game manager qualities. Doesn't mean he's above criticism. I think he has some turnover-worthy plays, but he is not a game manager to me. He's never has been, and I don't think that's a good way to criticize his game, so I disagree with Cam on that count.
Yeah. Last thing here quickly, Mina. What would you say about the comment of him being the 10th best player on the 49ers?
I don't think that's right. I also don't think he's the best player on the San Francisco 49ers, probably outside the top three. I think I would probably put him somewhere in that 5 to 10 range. And that's not a criticism of Brock Purdy so much as it is a compliment to the fact that this 49ers team is absolutely stacked.
Yeah, it's a testament to how loaded they are. Absolutely.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The Invesco QQQ Legacy Classic will return to the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey for a third consecutive year this Saturday, February 3rd. The annual event, created by Michael B. Jordan and partners, will again feature a doubleheader of HBCU men's basketball games. This year's exciting slate includes the first-ever SWAC Conference matchup between Grambling State and Jackson State in one of the oldest rivalries in sports, Hampton University versus Howard University. And there's the super star himself, actor, producer, director, entrepreneur, our friend Michael B. Jordan. Great to have you with us, Michael.
What's up, big time?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, of course. And Stephen A., we know you're all about the HBCUs, obviously, as a alumni ambassador. We will get to that in just a minute. But I want to start on another positive note for the man to my right and you yourself, big Knicks fans. Michael, 8 in a row. I mean, third in the East, playing above the rim, above expectations, orange and blue skies. How are you feeling about your Knicks right now and how far they could go this year?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm riding the momentum right now in the All-Star break. The Knicks looking good. I know my man Spike Lee is real happy right now. Stephen A's feeling good. We feeling good. We're taking this momentum right into the playoffs, baby.
I'm trying to temper our enthusiasm. Because, I mean, they've broken my heart for 50 years. I'm trying to be cool. And it's just one of them things where it's like, I'm believing. I'm seeing conference finals. I'm believing right now. I really am. But I'm cautiously optimistic outside. Inside, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah. I mean, the way they're playing, man, the chemistry is really there, man. Brunson is doing his thing. You know, man, Randall went down, you know what I'm saying, with the shoulder. But I think the team is really gelling in a real big way. They made some trades, whatnot. But I think, come on, Stephen A., we could be optimistic around this time around.
We can do it. But they did every time I am, man. That's when they fold. I can't do that now. I'm going to try a different strategy. You understand what I'm saying?
He had the pom-poms out a little too early last year.
I'll be there Saturday night, though. They play like I'll be there Saturday night for NBA Countdown.
Yeah, it's been
fun. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it.
It's been a lot of fun to watch. What hasn't been so fun, though, is the Giants, our New York Giants, Michael. It's been a sad state of affairs. Stephen A. doesn't even claim them, you know, the New York teams. Obviously, he's a Steelers fan. Tell me this. Do you think we need to draft a quarterback? Are you okay riding with Daniel Jones? Like, what is the move here? Because we cannot have another season like that.
I'm going to say draft a quarterback 100%. I think we need a QB, honestly. You know, they have the ball, you know, every possession. You know what I mean? They make a lot of game time decisions. They make a lot of big plays. They're the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I think we need that. Our offense needs to be able to put some points up on the board and take some pressure off Saquon. You feel me?
Well, listen, without question, Saquon, you know what I say. They got Saquon in a bag of chips. Ain't nothing.
Well, they better hope they keep Saquon.
You got a big event coming up this Saturday at the Prudential Center. We're not going to contaminate that event by talking about the New York Giants. We're going to focus on this event coming up. Talk to me about this event and why it is and how excited you are about it and why it means so much to you.
Man, the Invesco QQQ Legacy Classic is a huge deal. You know, honestly, we started it up 3 years ago. You know, hometown event in Newark, New Jersey. Just really trying to take the HBCU platform and put it on a major stage, on a major platform, so people can actually see these guys play. I think the youth, these young athletes, you know, just showing what's available to them. You know, I think for me, even the financial part of it all, not really having access to the type of conversations that I needed to have to take care of my finances, to take care of the type of money that I'm having. So these young athletes, as they're getting into the name and the likeness, and as they're getting these opportunities, these checks are coming in, just to give them the opportunity to to really make good decisions, you know, as coming up. You know, things are different nowadays, you know, so I like the fact that these athletes are having these big stages to play on.
Absolutely, and you're providing the stage with this. Michael, why did you personally decide to get involved in this project? Because we know how busy you are and how much you have going on.
I mean, it's the next generation. You know, I think, you know, we're really dependent on them, you know, to kind of like, you know, to take what we've done so far and take it to the next level. So to be able to provide a platform, you know, for these HBCUs who don't really get the credit that they deserve, especially within the Black community, you know, I just thought it was the right thing to do. You know, you see these things like the Maui Invitational, you see all these different mm-hmm. classics where these teams go out and they travel and, you know, they have these, you know, all these brands and just have just all these, it's just all this attention that's brought to them. And I think HBCUs have kind of been left behind, you know, over the years. But as of recently, it's been more of a topic of conversation. It's becoming more popular. And I felt like a classic was the best way to bring, you know, the HBCUs into one place. And put them on, you know, a nationally televised game, give these young players an opportunity to be seen, you know, throughout the country. And we've been doing well, you know, it's the third year and hopefully we have many more.
Well, part of building this classic is also you getting Black-owned businesses involved and what have you. But I want to talk about HBCU athletics. What's your ultimate hope when it comes to this event and these kind of events? What's the ultimate assist that you're hoping to provide to HBCU athletics?
I mean, honestly, I think that the money, the finances, you know, I think that the give backs, the kickbacks from alumni, you know, from brands, you know, young recruits, you know, that are thinking about going to some of these other bigger schools with bigger athletic programs in hopes of getting to the next level of competition, that they will start making decisions and start coming to HBCUs. You know, I think as we pour in the, you know, the support, and the you know, just the access that they have around those universities so they can have the facilities, you know, the you know, the practice facilities, just all the equipment, the things that's needed for them to compete, you know, with the rest of these students throughout the country is a big hope for me that, you know, these HBCUs will get the financial backing that they really need to kind of really compete.
Yeah, and try to level the playing field. And we applaud you, obviously, putting your time and energy into this. As I mentioned, Stephen A., an HBCU alum, and obviously Shannon Sharpe, the Hall of Famer, also on our show. We see what success they have both become. I want to transition here, though, because, Michael, there's a big game coming up in Vegas. Ushers at halftime, big deal, the Super Bowl. We got the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs back in it again. First, tell me who you're rooting for to win it, and then tell me who you actually think's going to win it.
Man, who am I rooting for? They're one and the same. It's really hard to bet against Mahomes and the Chiefs right now and the momentum that they got, man. They're playing at a really, really high level. You know, everything seems to be going their way. You know, even when they start off slow, you know, they find a way to get back in it. You can't really it's hard right now. So I'm gonna go with Kansas City.
Yeah, seems like good money right there.
Safe bet. Don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
it's very hurtful.
Yeah, you can't.
Stephen,
certain people you don't bet against. He's one of them.
That's right.
Are you gonna take KC too?
Yes, I am gonna take KC. Yeah. I mean, listen, he goes out there. It's not, first of all, his greatness is his greatness. But then when you see how poised he is, the pressure doesn't faze him. You're somebody, MBJ, that knows a thing or two about the spotlight, the bright lights and stuff like that. It's a lot of people that could perform when nobody's watching. But when everybody's watching those bright lights on you, you get a little bit nervous, okay? And that is not Patrick Mahomes. That's why I can't bet against him.
Yeah.
And it's the whole squad. Defense is doing really well with great coaching. You know what I'm saying? He's got all the, you know, the players that are around him, you know, that's giving him the support that he needs. So, I mean, it's a well-rounded organization. So you can't really, you know, can't knock him too much.
By the way, we all need to come together and tell the world to leave Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift alone.
Oh, God.
Let them do their thing. Ain't none of our business. Have a good time.
Michael, live your life. All of a sudden, Stephen A's a Swiftie.
I'm a Beehive, Beyonce, all day, every day.
Here we go.
Then Swiftie.
He took his daughters to the concert, and I mean, he just can't stop talking about it ever since.
Michael, we don't
bet against you either. And obviously, we saw also you just did the deal with David Yurman, which is major. I'd like you to know I'm wearing a David Yurman ring right now. I did steal steal it from The Rock. But
she didn't steal it. He gave it.
Oh, that was a David Yerman ring. That's crazy.
Yes. So shout out to the whole crew on Prince Street in Soho. I was just at the store. They sized it for me. So yes. Thank you so much. And I know they're really excited about working with you. So if you have other jewelry you want to send, you can tell. I take leftovers. So, whatever.
That's right.
We're good.
She'll wear 10 rings on her. She'll wear 11 rings on 10 fingers. She'll find a way.
Michael, you only live once. You got to enjoy it. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you guys so much for having me. Thank you, guys.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Hope to see you in person soon.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
I hope that we go out and get the players that we're missing because we didn't do that this year. You know, I hope that we challenge ourselves, become better and become greater for us.
All right, SA. Yeah. That was Micah Parsons. What do you make of his comments? Kimberly, good to have you back, girl.
Hello.
Embarrassing. And I love Micah Parsons. Even if it's me, at some point in time, you just have to know when to shut the hell up. You really do. You, as an organization, as a team, wet the bed. I'm not talking about losing to Green Bay. I'm talking about being down 48-16 to Green Bay. You shouldn't even be quoted anywhere. You should have took the entire rest of the season and the football season, the season, as in the winter, into the spring.
He should have hibernated.
Hibernate until the summer. Just be quiet. Nobody wants to hear anything from the Cowboys right now. You have nothing to say. I had Jeff Saturday. I think Micah Parsons is a stud. Mm-hmm. I think he's big time. What did Jeff Saturday come up on here and say yesterday? He said, I don't give a damn what you say about Micah Parsons. Over the last half of the season, he tailed off. The last few games of the season into the playoffs, he didn't do anything. I said, what about double and triple T? He said, I don't give a damn. People calling in the modern-day Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor had to deal with that every week. What'd he do? So, again, they're not only talking about the Cowboys, they're dissecting it. You got a guy in Dak Prescott, 36 touchdown pass. You got a leading receiver in CeeDee Lamb, 135 receptions for crying out loud, okay? You're just looking at some of these things from the Dallas Cowboys, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And you end up home. At some point in time, you got to shut the hell up. You just have to. Because when it comes around, we understand what Jerry's doing. Jerry making money.
Yes.
Jerry making money. Jerry can talk. He's the owner. He's cutting the checks. He wants to make sure that he continues to generate some revenue for himself and the organization. His team is worth $9 billion when everybody else is there worth an average of $5 billion, even though Washington was purchased for $6 by Josh Harris. We get that. But Jerry Jones' headlines and all of this other stuff, selling paraphernalia, that's different. But if you're the coach or the player, with the success or lack thereof that you have flagrantly had, you got to shut the hell up. And I know you got podcasts. Take a break. Nobody wants to hear, we going all in 2024.
That's where my mind went to.
We going all in 2024. You didn't go all in 2023? You didn't go all in 2022. What the hell were you doing? You were on vacation? Of course you weren't. You went all in then, too. It doesn't work. Stop.
Here's what's interesting about Micah is he was talking since they lost to the 49ers and still came back after that game and was like, I don't know, we're going to do all these things. And they just got the doors blown off them. The problem with Micah said so much in that podcast interview, but it took him 17 days to finally speak. He didn't talk after the game. Didn't talk the locker room cleanup. And then he finally gets on his podcast 2 weeks later and says, at 24 years old, man, I done seen it all. He just got in the league, let's be honest. He's one of the great play. He's one of the best players, in, defensive players in the league. But when your defense gets embarrassed like that, and I understand offensively Dak Prescott threw all those interceptions, but nobody on that team, whether from the coaches to the players, nobody on that team can defend that performance. Yep. And for Micah Parsons to continuously talk, at some point you get tired of it because production, everybody wants to talk about Dak and the lack of production. Overall, the Cowboys continue to disappoint.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Absolutely.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. You just.
That's the point. You like the point.
Because listen. I have fun trolling Cowboy fans because I can't stand. They truly are nauseating and disgusting. And I love seeing them quiet. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You got to shut the hell up because you have nothing to say as a Cowboy fan. But as a player, it's even worse for you. And it's like, yo, man. I know what I consider Micah Parsons big time. I love this brother, man. I really, really do. But it's like. We gonna go all in 2024. Well, you didn't go all in 2023.
And he criticized.
You didn't do it in 2022.
He criticized the call. Like I just want to play the call.
Come on, man. We gonna go all in.
We gotta then go out and get the guys.
Oh, by the way. Not only did we go, we gonna go all in 2024. You said that in the aftermath of them keeping McCarthy. And Dak Prescott still being there. Come on, man.
I have one of the nicest things to say to you that I've ever said. This show went by so fast. I felt like that all week. And this week went by so fast. And you were here in studio.
See?
High five. High five. Your presence is a gift. There we go.
Didn't have to say all that,
just
girl.
Take
Didn't
it.
Have to say all that.
Just take that moment. For a second, I felt like it was Friday, though, and then that was a little bit of a buzzkill.
I'm going to start looking better, too, when I go to Hair Club for Men.
Will you be here tomorrow?
Why don't you just ask Dion what he did?
I did.
So do
I'm going to Hair Club for Men.
If you want to do it,
I'm going to do it.
Who cares?
I mean, I look good enough now, but I'm going to look even better.
I'll see you tomorrow,
say it if it's true, Kimberly. Say it if it's true. Tell him.
No.
Tell him.
Nothing.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.